Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick. We are today talking about the Essendon Bombers, a little bit delayed, but always coming around. We're very keen to get into them. I'm here with my co-host Will. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you, Jono. Keen to talk about these Bombers.
Yeah, they had an interesting 2024 where I feel like their best was elite and it did make them qualify for finals, but I'm keen to hear your take on how they went last season.
Yeah, they sure did. They snuck into the eight in a group of teams that were vying for the finals, 6 wins, 4 losses and a draw in the end. They, as you say, they had a very interesting season. They had a terrible loss to Adelaide in round 4. And then after that, they sort of started kicking on with some good wins, made the finals, didn't quite, you know, achieve what they would like to in the finals, but set themselves up for another good campaign this year. Last year, the big story was really the injuries to Bonnie Toogood in particular, which kind of changed the way they had to play, and we'll talk about that a little bit more a bit later. But basically, at the moment, they're more consolidating their list than trying to add top-line talent or anything like that. So the ins, Courtney Murphy from GWS, very handy trade in given their ruck predicament. Steph Wales missed the latter parts of the season with an ACL injury and will miss parts of this season with that rehab as well. So one to keep an eye on. Also brought in a whole lot of draftees. So Grace Bloney, Taya Chambers, Holly Ridewood, and Sophie Strong. Grace Brooker, a rugby union convertee, will be quite an interesting one. Maggie McLaughlin, a former Freo player, comes as a replacement player as long as Jess Verbrugge and Emily Gladman. They have lost a bit of talent in the outs, though. They've lost to former high draft picks Amber Clark and Paige Scott, who self-delisted in order to get to Richmond, and also lost Ash Van Loon, who headed up to Sydney. Cody Jacques, Jackie Voigt, Lily Rose Williamson were delisted, and they do have 3 players that will be inactive this season as well. Bess Keeney, an experienced player on the wing halfback, will be missing due to pregnancy. Emily Goff has unfortunately done her ACL, as has friend of the pod, Amelia Radford, which was sad to see. So a bit of experience lost there. So it'll be interesting to see how they fill those gaps.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Bess Keeney in particular last season, watching her run along those wings and just the way that she added to their mark kick game plan that they've got going on. So it will be interesting to see how that is resolved this upcoming season. But yeah, a lot of injuries last season to worry about. One thing, though, is I really think they, when they played their best footy, I mean, we're talking about them just scraping into finals, but the team that came in ninth was the D's, and, oh, they thumped them. They thumped them early in the season, sure, which was a massive surprise.
Yeah, it really was. And as you say, the difference between their best and their worst was stark, and if they can make it so that their best footy is the footy they're trotting out most weeks in the upcoming season, they're definitely in with a shout for finals once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, as much fun as it is us just chatting about what we think is going to happen, I think it's always better to hear from the club themselves. And to that end, we've had Liam, our local Bomber fan, chatting with Amy Gaylor over at the Bombers recently. So let's jump over to that now.
Yes, thanks, guys. As has been announced, we are very ably joined and we are very excited to have on the podcast last year's, you know, rising star for the Bombers, Amy Gaylor. Amy, thank you so much for jumping on. How are you?
Great, thanks. No, thanks for having me on. It's an honour to be on the podcast.
First things first, like, how was, you know, your first season in kind of a, like, you know, a quick 25 words or less summary?
God, it's hard to summarise, but just like a whirlwind. Yeah, I don't really know what I expected coming in to the season, but it surpassed like all my expectations. Like, I absolutely love the club, love the players. So yeah, I've got nothing but good words for the club in last season.
So you kind of came in as a expansion pre-signing. How early on did you know that you were going to be playing for Essendon kind of in your junior career?
Honestly, not that much before it got announced. Obviously knew that Essendon had that expansion pick, but I was still kind of interviewing with other clubs, and I'd spent a few couple sessions with their VFLW team, but it was kind of not really till the end of the year that I had like a serious interview with Essendon. They kind of sat me down and said they'd love to pick me up. So it probably would have been like October, November, the draft year, that I kind of found out. So there was always like an inkling, but it wasn't really set in stone until end of the year.
And you were kind of played junior footy in the area, played for Strathmore and Calder. Are you a Bombers supporter, or have your allegiances now had to shift?
I definitely wasn't a Bombers supporter growing up. I was a Bulldog supporter. So it took...
Fair enough. That's the other Western Suburbs team that's acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. It took a while to convince the family to swap to Bombers. But it's actually a weird alliance. Like, my mum actually worked for Essendon for 7 years. So I'd been around the club a bit growing up, and did the, I'm not sure if you heard of the Danaher squad.
Yep.
As well. So I was around the club a little bit growing up, but definitely wasn't a Bombers supporter, but switched now.
Yeah, good. So that's excellent to hear. Now, in terms of arriving at Essendon, you were tasked pretty early on with a position switch in defence. How much had you played as a defender as a junior, and what was it like first pre-season? Like, we're going to throw you down back to get you some game time.
Yeah, it was, I honestly got thrown in like all positions of mine, even throughout the pre-season. I actually trained with the forwards for the whole pre-season.
Oh, even better, even easier for you.
Yep. Yeah. And it wasn't until the day of the intra-club, Natalie Wood, the coach, came up to me and said, "We've got a couple injuries. Would you mind playing back for that inter-club?" And I was like, oh God. But to be honest, I probably was more comfortable in a backline position than forward. I came from basketball, netball background, and I kind of always found, I guess, the defense part of the game easier. But we always joke about it now, but she kind of did throw me around a bit in the first season, which looking back on now, I actually really appreciate. I've been able to build that versatility. In my junior years, I kind of was only in the midfield. So to kind of get that experience in different roles has definitely helped me to be a better player now.
Yeah, and hopefully that can transition kind of this year and going forward. In terms of the player on the list at the moment that's probably had the biggest impact for you last year, is there one that kind of stands out? You obviously had some very experienced players alongside you in defence and in the midfield.
Yeah, I'd probably say definitely first half of the season was Maddie Gay. We kind of play similar roles. But she came in same time as me, so we're kind of both newbies in a sense. But, just her experience, and she's just got such a wise head on her. Listening to her in meetings, kind of always challenging the coach, like looking at her different ways. But, she was always open to chat, open to give advice. But, I definitely really looked up to her. And then even down the field, Bonnie Toogood as the captain, love the way she leads, and she's always been like a shoulder to lean on. And then in the midfield, there's quite a few experienced players. So when I jumped into the wing a bit, I really leaned on Bess Keeney. She played wing quite a bit last year, and she was really great as well there when I got thrown into the midfield a bit.
Yeah, that's a pretty spectacular list of players to lean on. And looking at the way you played, it definitely looked like you and Maddie both worked your way kind of into the season. There was, I don't know if it was a noticeable thing from internally, but a definite shift into the kind of ball movement style across halfback and ball control. Was that something that was done kind of intentionally, and maybe it took you guys a couple of weeks to get comfortable with that, or was it just a kind of natural shift as the season went along?
Yeah, I think there definitely was a little bit of focus on getting a bit more ball movement and a bit more tack from our back line. And that's also a credit to the rest of the back line. I think we had quite a bit of role clarity. People knew if they were the intercept defender, people holding out for others. So that kind of runoff halfback doesn't happen without the rest of the back line sticking to their structure. So, it was definitely something we wanted to bring to last season, and something we want to work on this year as well.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I have to ask you, are we going to expect to see you play a halfback role this year? Is it going to be a wing role, as you kind of saw a little bit towards the back end of the season? You even had some CBA minutes in that final against Fremantle alongside Maddie Gay as well, which I found very interesting. Have you been kind of pegged for one of those to start this season, or is it going to be more chaos? You'll be intra-club, full forward, you know, last week and then be playing fullback against North Melbourne in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, honestly, I can't say that where I'm training pre-season will correlate to where I'm going to play in season or based off last year. But, yeah, I have been training a bit in midfield this pre-season, which has been good. I've been trying, I guess, different combinations all over the ground. We've got so many new players, so just seeing where they fit in. But, yeah, I think it's still very open to where I could play this season. But, yeah, I quite like being that person that not so much like a fix-it player, but, yeah, wherever the team needs me, I'm happy to play.
Look, you're media trained already, putting on the "I'll just do what the team best needs for me" hat. That's very well done. And yes, it's almost like you've read my next question. Obviously, been quite a number of changes from the best 21, or kind of those rotational players from last year. I think most notably in the forward line, losing Paige and Amber Clark, obviously going to leave some gap in game time and in goal scoring. There's obviously been a whole host of names that have kind of popped up coming into the team this year, particularly in the draft. Has there been one or two that have kind of most impressed you at training?
Yeah, I'd say they've all come in and impressed. To name a few, definitely Grace Bellany. I think we're starting to see the difference when girls start playing at such a young age. She's just so skillful. She's come in and, yeah, she's stepping me out in training, doing ridiculous kicks. So yeah, she's a really exciting one to see. And then the other one would be Sophie Strong. I think she's just, we'll call it the little whippet. Yeah, she's just such a little whippet, a little rocket, kind of attacks every ball. And although she's small, she's quite strong and quite feisty. So yeah, she brings quite a lot of energy wherever she'll play. But yeah, them two have been really exciting. But yeah, I think we've had 9 in, so all of them have brought something different to the team and a whole different look for this year.
Yeah, and the other player in terms of strong ones, Grace Brooker has arrived from having played rugby. Have you A, had to be tackled or B, like try and tackle her, and is it as rough as I'm anticipating it will be?
She holds back in training, you can tell, but yeah, the few times I've been tackled, she's literally grabbed me and my legs have been dangling up in the air. She's so crazy strong, and you watch her in the gym, God, she's watching her bench squat. Yeah, she's just coming from rugby, like a whole different level of strong. But yeah, it'll be interesting what she brings to the field. But yeah, she could absolutely boulder through all of us.
Very, very keen to see that. I'm imagining Vicky Wall type operator, just on that pure strength point. Another player that you did mention that unfortunately we won't get to see this year is Bess Keeney out on the wing. Obviously, the wing is a position where, you know, any number of players can kind of get thrown. Is there someone new this year or a breakout player that you expect to kind of take up that role immediately? Could we see kind of Georgia G play higher up the ground? Is it Sophie Vanderheuvel? Kind of, I think there are a number of different options that could roll through there.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, there's quite a few options. And I think this point in the preseason, we've just been trying quite a few different combinations. Even a few of our new players, Maggie McLaughlin, Jess Verbrugge, have been playing a bit there on the wing. But yeah, even open to like a mid-wing rotation with potentially some of us mids going through there. But yeah, there's quite a few that could pop out into that wing space, which is quite exciting. I guess depending on the game, whether we want to get some speed off the wing or endurance. Yeah, we've got quite a lot of options there. So it's an exciting role to fill. Obviously, sad that Bess can't be there this season. But, yeah, I'm confident that we'll be able to fill that position quite well.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see, because just watching the Bombers, it always felt like Bess was someone who not only took up a wing role, but she'd obviously played a lot of minutes in defence at the Suns and had a pretty natural knack for dropping behind the ball, taking intercept marks. So I wouldn't be shocked if someone, say, you like yourself, who'd played midfield and wing and defence, maybe ended up with some minutes in there, but definitely going to be one that all fans are going to be keen to see. The final one, you know, that played a lot of time last year is Ash Van Loon, who's gone to Sydney. She was that kind of lockdown, medium-sized defender. Is there someone that you expect to kind of jump straight into that role this season?
Yeah, Loons was, quite an important part of our defence, so quite a hard role to fill. But our new draftee, Taya Chambers, I think's kind of taken on that role, I guess. She's been training in the back line and, she's so composed beyond her years. So, yeah, I think she could be someone that could potentially take over that lockdown defender. But, yeah, we've got quite a strong back line, so I'm sure they'll all work together. They'll be able to find a solution. But yeah, I'm quite excited to see what she can do out there.
As are we. And then the kind of final position group, just the midfield and the rucks. We've obviously, you know, the Bombers are trying to integrate Courtney Murphy. Kind of how has she gone so far this preseason, you know, coming in as a player who's kind of been on a few lists now, but has only played one game. Has she kind of made an immediate impact? How's she going competing against Mikey?
Yeah, definitely. She's made an immediate impact. Credit to her. Like, she's third club in 3 years, and she's come in with that same, like, willingness to learn. And, yeah, I find that Mikey and her definitely challenge each other in different ways. They're different rocks. Mikey's more of, like, a jump athletic rock, whereas Courtney's more of, like, that strong, like, combative rock. So, yeah, they definitely push each other in different ways. But, yeah, I think they'll be a great combo. And, yeah, they've obviously, with the loss of Killer for the first however many games of the season, they've really stepped up in that role. And, yeah, I've got so much confidence in them coming in round one.
Yeah, look, it's certainly one that I won't ask you to say who's going to play round one. I have a feeling that we might end up with both in the team, or get at least a sense in the practice match. In terms of kind of a question that we ask every single player that we have onto the podcast, and you've already given me so many names and the community so many names for breakout options, but who is the one that you expect to kind of make the biggest leap this year? Who's the player to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I'd say there's a few. One being, she's already a superstar of the comp, but Bonnie, I guess last year she had quite an injury-interrupted year. But, yeah, I think if she can come out injury-free this season, I'd back her against anyone, to be honest. Yeah, so really excited. She's had a great preseason, so excited to see what she can do. But besides that, I think Mia Bush is another one. Probably haven't met anyone that's worked harder than Bushy. So, yeah, hopefully that she can get a string of games together. And I think playing in that back line, she's so diligent with everything. Great teammate. So I think she's someone that could definitely break out this year.
That is very exciting to hear. The fact that Bonnie Toogood has another level is pretty spectacular, because her 2023, possibly one of the most complete seasons that we will possibly ever see at the Bombers, just in terms of the way she's able to impact the game. Amy, you've been an absolutely wonderful guest, so thank you so much for going on. And if I had to ask you one final question, round one, you know, first centre bounce, where are you playing?
Hard question. You'll have to wait till round one in Canberra. I know about as much as you. So.
That is an extremely fair response, but I'm bitterly disappointed. Thanks again, Amy. And yeah, we'll be rooting for your success this season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, an interesting chat there. I mean, I always love hearing about some of these updated ruck situations going on with Steph Wales going down. I think that's going to be very interesting to see how that mix goes forward. But I don't think there's a better thing to talk about than right at the end of the interview. We've got a couple players that might be looking very strong for the season ahead, but one in particular, Will, I think is your first player in our top five fantasy relevant picks.
Yeah, absolutely. A breakout player, I think, is a strange thing to say for this player, given we know what they can bring to the table. Previously averaged 102 as a forward, Bonnie Toogood. Simply put, she's absolute value. And last year, she was the top owned forward going to last year because of that 102 average, and really broke our hearts with that unfortunate MCL injury on a score of 5, which really threw the cat among the pigeons early on for teams with how they, you know, changed their structure. And then to compound things, also had a second season ending injury, a syndesmosis injury in the second last game of the home and away season, on a score of 4. So you've got a score of 5 and a score of 4 in there, which tanks her average even further to just 38.7, priced at 501,000 for us. She's averaged over 50 for the last 3 years, including that massive average of 102. And even though they have moved their game plan away from being Bonnie Toogood-centric, simply put, I think she's too good a player to not average 50+, which means there's already, you know, 10 to 15 points worth of value there. And I think it's definitely well within the realms that she could average 60 or 70 again. So I think it would be a brave coach to go against that sort of value.
Yeah, you don't get this kind of value really anywhere, anytime. I mean, we're talking about other players from other clubs coming in who are, you know, 30 points underpriced as, you know, being extraordinary value. This is 60, 70 points under what you can probably expect her to do. 70 might be a stretch, but 60 points under what she's done in the past is actually insane. I'm very excited to see what she can do. But yeah, it's just getting past those injuries that she had, you know, either end of the season. I think it was the last game, wasn't it? Wasn't it week 10? I remember it ruining my final week of the season.
Possibly, but either way, two unfortunate injuries really does bring that average down. It would be an absolute shock if she didn't average considerably over that 38 mark. So yeah. I think this is a pretty safe pick.
Yeah. Can I bring up one concern for you? And this is that when she did that first round injury, score of 5, it wasn't like it was in the first 5 minutes of the game. I believe it was in the second quarter. Yes. And she was still only on 5. And in the couple games we did see her play, I think she was playing a little bit deeper forward than we've seen in the past. She wasn't floating back behind the ball as she'd done previously to sort of take those contested marks and keep her score racking up. Is this something we need to be concerned about?
I think it's something to be wary of, maybe not concerned about. I think Toogood is, well, too good a player to not score at least decently. She did score a few 30s, but I think they were sort of nursing her back from those injuries. I think the days of averaging 102 are probably behind her, simply from a game plan point of view. I don't think Essendon will be looking to rely on her in that way. But I think even if she's only averaging 50, you're still getting a fair bit of, you know, a fair bit of value there. So I think that to think that she's going to not make money would be probably devastating for the Bombers, because it likely means that she's not having much impact. So I think it would be quite a surprise that if she didn't at least make a little bit of money, put it that way.
Yeah, I think probably the easiest start we're going to have this season, and we probably just need to temper our expectations from that 102 we once saw, because that's just incredible, but challenging to reach.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And so for my number two player, I've picked Maddie Gay, which is basically the player that Essendon went, all right, we can't focus all of our game plan around Bonnie Toogood. We'll now focus it all around Maddie Gay. So Maddie Gay is the most expensive defender in the game, priced at $1,000,065. Averaged 82.3 last year. It was an elite campaign, All-Australian in her first season at the Bombers. And basically she was pretty good at everything. She was good at intercepting. She was good at defending, getting the ball, moving the ball forward. I think in terms of all-round defensive efforts, she was probably the best at it last season. They've got a pretty nice early fixture, so she should be able to feature in the top handful once again. I think the only thing with Maddie Gay is, do you want to pay up for that top defender? And I think that there's plenty of justification to say yes. So even if she doesn't end up as the top defender, there's a couple of other players like Charlie Thomas and Tilly Lucas-Rod who might be able to pip her. I still think that she's going to be comfortably averaging over 75 and should probably tip that 80 mark once again.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think there's a couple reasons why I've been thinking a lot about some of these defenders, because I do think they're potentially worth paying up for on the basis of, I mean, for one, particularly at the Bombers, we've got no Steph Wales in the upcoming season. I don't think that ball is going to be locked in stoppage as much as it once was. I think it might be getting out of there a little easier. And the other thing is they've changed the ruck rules this year, where they've basically told the clubs, we're not going to be waiting for the rucks to run over from wherever they are on the ground. If there's a contest, we're just going to ball it up. And I think that means we're going to see a lot less set up around stoppage. We're going to see the ball kind of exiting quicker. So these players that get it on the outside, like Maddie Gay, could be big beneficiaries of that extra time of ball just being in possession.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And that's a great segue into my number three player, which is Courtney Murphy, who is an interesting player for us because Steph Wales is going to likely miss the first month to 6 weeks of the season just due to her ACL rehab, which means that they need to fill in that ruck spot, the Bombers, and Courtney Murphy has been brought over from GWS to do just that. As we heard from Amy Gaylor, it's likely to be her mixed with Matilda Dyke, but with 100 and I think it's 120 thousand more on top of the basement price in Matilda Dyke. Courtney Murphy's the one I like the look of. Young player, played one AFLW game with an enormous score of 6. So don't get too excited about her previous AFLW form in fantasy terms. But simply put, she's a raw athletic prospect, and being priced at 300,000K, so basement price, and likely to play early in the season, she basically only has to average 30 to 40 to make you a fair bit of money. And in a first ruck position, which she's never really had, GWS have often run multiple rucks, and obviously she only played one game there anyway. I think it would be fairly reasonable to expect a 40 to 50 average from Courtney Murphy if she does get that first ruck role, which means plenty of early money. And then when Steph Wales comes back, trade her straight out, made your money, fantastic.
Yeah. And I don't want to discourage people on the basis of that 6, because it was from extremely limited time on ground. Like, she was playing backup ruck. She didn't make it to 50%. I think there's not a huge scoring here, but of all the positions that you want to have the basement price, you know, player on, I think your ruck bench is probably the one that you can get away with it the best. So I do like this option from you, Will.
Yeah, and I think that just the fact that with Wales not there and them essentially looking at two backup options, the game, the job certainty should be there that she'll play that first month quite easily. And for a player at that price, as you say, Jono, you jump on it, because all they have to do is average a 30 to 40 and you're making money.
Yeah. No, it's a comfortable one. Who's next on your list? Who's number 4?
Number 4 hopefully will be serviced capably by Courtney Murphy in the midfield is Matty Prasparkas. Very known quantity, Matty Prasparkas, superstar midfielder, W Award winner. From her perspective, was a bit of a down season last year, only averaging 89.6. The main concern was really the shift in the game plan. They shifted away from that contested footy brand, possibly due to Steph Wales' injury. But simply put, she's too good a player not to score highly again. Averaged 96 the previous season. You'd expect that having a preseason's worth of, you know, practicing the game plan, trialing that game plan with a bit less, she's the clear top dog in there. Even with Georgian Anscorn, who also averaged a very healthy average, teams were putting the effort into Matty Prasparkas, putting tags on her. That is probably the main concern. But if you are looking for a slightly more unique midfield option, Matty Prasparkas is that. And I think a 90 average is probably par for the course for her.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think she's an excellent star, and I can't wait to see her get back to that high fantasy scoring that we've always known her to be.
Indeed. And my last pick is a player who probably goes a bit under the radar in Essendon's backline because of Maddie Gay, but I've picked Georgia Clark here. Georgia Clark, defender, averaged 51.3 last year, so a bit of an awkward mid-pricer, 664K. But stood out as a really reliable defensive option last year and definitely benefited from that kick-mark game style that they moved towards, particularly in that latter half of the season. And the reason I mention her and bring her up is because despite averaging 51.3, she started the year with 3 20s and a 42, and then basically didn't drop below 50 after round 4. So from round 4, if you take out those 20s and that 42, average 64, which is a really solid average and would put her into that sort of band of players who are in that just below the top tier. And if she is going to, you know, average that 64 once again, that suggests she could be at least 10 points underpriced. So could be a really interesting one if you're looking to save a bit of money and get an underpriced player who could average around that premium option.
Yeah, that's a really unique thought. I don't think I'd really considered her until you put her on this list. I mean, if we're talking about a lot of the outside ball at Essendon, I mean, we're looking at players like Bess Keeney, who are no longer there. The amount she had that ball on the outside last season, she's no longer there. I think Georgia Clark could be one that steps up and takes a little bit of that ball as well.
And it's quite an interesting one, because we talked a lot about Gab Pound in the Carlton episode, who's only priced 6K cheaper for probably a less reliable role. It's one that's really got me thinking, because you can, you know, save yourself, you know, 100,000 if you go from Emma O'Driscoll down to her for possibly a very similar score. It's quite an interesting one that's got me thinking about my backline structure, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough line, and one which I think we, of all the lines, it's the one we don't have the most obvious value on it. So it's definitely one that I'm going to be looking into a little bit more. And it's probably in a similar area to what I'm looking at for the host special on this episode, because whilst not a defender, I am looking at a player that I think could get a little bit more ball on the outside this season, and it is Brook Walker. So Brook Walker is a midfielder priced at 786 and averaged a little over 60 last season. She is pretty much that fourth midfielder at the moment for the Bombers. You know, obviously you've got the big three in Prosparkas, Nanscorn and Steph Kane, who have been doing the majority of time in there. But Brook Walker, very clearly next. And interestingly, if you look at the next two on the list for, you know, midfield minutes at the Bombers, Amelia Radford is one who was there, now done her ACL, who won't be playing this season. Then Paige Scott, who's off the list and off to Richmond now. So I think it's an interesting one where, you know, a lot more opportunity in that midfield. But also when she's not playing in the midfield, I think she's going to be doing a lot more running on that wing and could be used as an outlet for those kicks where previously Bess Keeney was doing it. So I think an opportunity sort of in whichever position she's in, she's going to be doing, I guess, a little bit more prominent of a role. We know she has the capability of scoring a little bit higher. Last year against Sydney, she scored 104 off the basis of, I think it was 11 tackles being the main part of that. And really that was due to a tag that was run on Maddie Prosparkas by Tanya Kennedy. And it just kind of gave her a little bit more impetus to show what she can do. So I'm hoping we can see a little bit more growth this season from her. And we might be able to see maybe a 70, 75 plus average.
Yeah, really interesting one. And the only thing really is the awkward pricing, I guess. Otherwise, I really don't mind it.
This is one that maybe, like, the day we get a draft game, I think that's the first thing. This is the sort of pick I'd be looking at very strongly. It's a challenging price point in the classic game that we've got going at the moment. But, you know, if this is a role that's sort of a bit more apparent in the practice games coming up this weekend, could be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Very good.
Anyway, I guess that'll do us on the Essendon episode. Very excited to keep going with our club preview series for 2025. And tomorrow we'll be talking about the Port Adelaide Power, who were a bit of a fast finishing side last season with some incredible games. Before we wrap up though, Will, any predictions for how the Bombers are going to go in 2025?
Oh, I think they'll probably slot into the bottom half of the eight once again. I think they've got too much talent to slide much further, and a full season from Bonnie Toogood would definitely help.
Yeah, no, it'll be incredible to see her in action again. So probably the first player, aside from maybe Ebony Marinoff, that I popped in my side once the game opened. So will be exciting to see her back. Anyway, we'll catch you again tomorrow, everyone, and thanks for listening. We are Free Kick W Pod on Twitter and Instagram if you're looking to follow us, and also on YouTube if you wanted to subscribe there. And our article on the Essendon Bombers is also out on our Substack, so definitely worth taking a look there as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
See you, everyone.